The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Thanks for joining me today here on the Trumpet Daily on 101.3 KPCG. Online, we're at kpcg.fm. Have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. I'm Dwight Falk, filling in for Stephen Fleury today. And as always, the Trumpet Daily, of course, airs live weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time. And the video, you can watch that stream at thetrumpet.com/live. And today's version is an audio-only version, but typically we have video as well. And the show is available on your favorite podcast apps. So if you can't catch it live, you can always get the podcast version. And of course, we also are airing nationwide at 11 a.m. Central Time on CRN3 Digital Radio. And we appreciate the partnership that we have with them and being able to air on CRN. And that's at 11 a.m. Central Time. Well, there's a lot happening, of course, in the news. The headlines every day are quite remarkable and shocking in many ways. And it gets back to something very strange that's happening in this world. It's something that people have a hard time getting a hold of. You know, they can see these headlines and really terrible things happening in America, Australia, Canada, Britain. And, of course, in other nations, too. But in particular, these nations of America and Britain and such, and our allies, or what has been our allies over the years, just things going off the rails, so to speak. And every day, really, you get up and you think, what's the new story today? What's the new thing that's happening? And it gets back to something that people are having a hard time getting their finger on. And we talk about it here quite a lot on the Trumpet Daily Show and at the Trumpet Magazine. There's a spiritual element to the problems that we see happening. There's a spiritual element to it. Because even some of the decisions being made here in the United States, and we'll talk about a few of them as we go, it doesn't even make sense just logically. You know, Afghanistan, other things like that. The way it's handled doesn't even make sense. There's just no logic to it. And so people are, you know, I think looking at it and not able to, again, put their finger on it. Well, there's a spiritual component to it. And a lot of it gets back to something that Trump and Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury has talked about actually for quite a while. And that is the issue of will worship. Will worship. Now, that seems maybe like, oh, that, you know, not related to what we're talking about with the headlines, but it absolutely is once we think about it more. And so I want to explain a little bit about that as we start today. What do you know about will worship? What is that? You know, those that worship the will have caused some of the greatest disasters in man's history. Some of the greatest disasters in man's history. And we see some major disasters on the horizon today. More disasters, again, like what's happening in Afghanistan. Other issues. Consider, historically, looking at somebody that worshipped the will and caused a massive, massive disaster. Historically, and in recent history, that would be Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler. Now, here is what Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury wrote. He wrote, Adolf Hitler started World War II, a war that killed 60 million people and inflicted some of the worst suffering in history. Hitler believed that if you tell a big lie and repeat it enough, people will believe it. That's what Hitler thought. He said, look, let's just tell a big lie, not a small one, let's tell a big lie and just keep repeating it. And eventually people will believe it. And of course, one of the big ones, obviously, was he blamed everything on the Jews, as we know. There's no proof for anything like that. It's ridiculous. But it was a big lie, and it was said enough. Now, I think today when people look back at that history of World War II, you know, sometimes they think, well, if I was there, I wouldn't have gone along with that. Well, most people would, because of the peer pressure. Because it's a big lie that's told often enough, and everybody agrees with it. And even if you don't agree with it, well, what are you going to do about it? Does that sound familiar? Are there movements, are there things happening in the world today that are very similar to that? Where even if people don't believe it or they think they're being lied to, what are they going to do about it? They're just going to go along with the flow and hope things get better, right? Hitler was into will worship. Here's what he wrote in Mein Kampf. Hitler wrote, "In the big lie, there is always a certain force of credibility." A force of credibility. Think about that. When you watch the media pundits spin their webs, there's a certain force of credibility there, isn't there? I mean, after all, everybody knows such and such, they'll say. Well, everybody knows that if you, you know, see the president having a mental breakdown, then as a general, you've got to take control of the military. Everybody knows that. Well, really? That's actually treason. And of course, that's a headline, right? All kinds of things. Well, if you put a mask on, that'll help you not get COVID. Well, where's the science behind that? Well, everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody, you'd have to be stupid to not know that. That's the argument, right? There's a force of credibility. Hitler did the same thing. Hitler continued in Mein Kampf. He says, "Because the broad masses of a nation are always more easily corrupted in the deeper strata of their emotional nature than consciously or voluntarily. And thus, in the primitive simplicity of their minds, they more readily fall victims to the big lie than the small lie, since they themselves often tell small lies and little matters, but would be ashamed to resort to large-scale falsehoods." And there's some real truth in that. It's a little bit of a wordy quote, I guess. But if you think about what he's saying there, the method that he's using for lying and for swaying the masses is effective. It was effective. And it's still effective today. It's will worship. You know, you watch some of these events unfold, and you think, well, people wouldn't tell that big of a lie, right? People wouldn't lie about something of life and death importance, would they? Well, they do all the time. But there's a certain force of credibility in that. There's a force of credibility in that. Large-scale falsehoods. We're being lied to every day. You turn on the news, you turn on anything, really, outside of a few sources, including this source, where we do seek to tell you the truth of the Bible. But in most cases, it's just big, bold, blatant lies every single day. And people sort of, I think, are aware of that, and at the same time, feel helpless to do anything about it, or just sort of go with the flow. You stood in an airport line with a mask on, looking around at everybody else wearing these masks, knowing full well that it's propaganda and it doesn't help anything, and it actually harms. The science, if we're going to look at the science of it, it's actually harmful. But, well, everybody's doing it. I mean, you want to get on your flight, right? I do the same thing. I don't want to cause a problem. Get on my flight. Go on my way. But we're all just sitting there. Some people believe it, but a lot of people don't, and yet we just sort of watch these lies unfold. And of course, there's a force of credibility in the lie. And so if somebody hearing me say this, not agreeing with me, would say, well, come on, you don't know. How do you know about masks? And they'd start talking about science and all this. Well, I'm no scientific expert, but the science that I've seen from people that I think are being pretty straightforward with the facts shows that these masks, as an example, they don't help anything. Why? Well, because most of them, they're too porous. Even if you were trying to keep some sort of small contagion out, it goes through. And then, of course, I don't know about you, but just common sense tells me if I've got something slapped to my face and I'm breathing on it and I've got, you know, whatever happens with the human nose and mouth. I mean, we all know that that's not something you want to have something strapped to all day. By the end of the day, it's pretty disgusting, right? I don't think that's a healthy environment. Just even common sense tells you that. And that's just one example. I'm not trying to get off on a tangent about masks and things. But it's just, again, an example of will worship. Well, why do we do it? Well, because we were told we're supposed to. But the person that told us, Dr. Fauci, there's quotes of him just a few months before he said everyone should do it, saying no one should do it and it doesn't work. Well, did the science change? That's what they tell you. Well, there's new information. No, there's not. It's will worship. It's will worship. Hitler said, look, if you tell these large-scale falsehoods and you just keep repeating them, people tend to believe it. Gerald Fleury wrote about this, and he said, that may sound strange, what Hitler was saying there, but it did happen to the German people. Hitler and his followers told people that the German army did not lose World War I on the battlefield, but instead had been stabbed in the back by the Jews. There was no evidence for his claim, but Hitler repeated it until people fell for it. See, there's no evidence. Think about the things that we hear so often in the media. There's no evidence for it. We're just told, well, this is how it is. And they might bring on a quote-unquote expert that's been paid to agree with them or bullied into agreeing with the message they want to send. But there's no evidence. They can doctor some. I mean, that happens sometimes. How many headlines do you see about vaccines where they say, oh, so-and-so didn't want a vaccine, now they're dead? But the ones that they don't report are the cases where people did get it and died from it. How many stories are there of those? A lot. Actually, a lot. But yet, well, that's not the narrative. So they don't want to present evidence. Not fairly, not honestly. They just want you to do what they say. Just do what we say. You remember Joe Biden, right? When he came out with this vaccine mandate. And he said, look, we've been patient, but we're losing our patience. You know, you just go, just get vaccinated. I think he whispered it at us. I guess that's his, that's what, we know he's serious when he's whispering or something. But that's what he did. Basically just said, just do what we tell you. Well, that's will worship. That's the same thing that Hitler did. Will worship. No evidence for the claims that he made, that Hitler made. Just repeated it until people fell for it or were bullied into it. Mr. Fleury continues and says, Hitler also blamed the Versailles Treaty as unfair and ruinous, and he held the West responsible for the political and economic turmoil plaguing the Weimar Republic. Germans came to believe Hitler. They elected him chancellor and supported his pogroms against the Jews. The Nazis exterminated 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. We know that history. That's where it leads to. Will worship leads to some horrific things. Mr. Fleury continues and says, we have not learned from this history as we should. Could something similar happen today? And, you know, people would say, no, come on. No way, right? Well, where would it stop? Where would will worship stop? If truth is ignored at point A, B, C, D, E, where are you going to say, okay, now we're finally going to follow the truth? It's a slippery slope. It's a tumble down the hill. There's nothing that stops it. Unless, again, it is forcefully stopped, and that's what had to happen with Hitler. That idea, that will worship. Somebody had to stand up and say, no. No way. That's not true. And, of course, no one did that until it got so bad that 6 million Jews got exterminated. You know, it's interesting, too. Sometimes people will wonder, and I've heard the question asked to those that went through the Holocaust and survived it. And they said, well, why didn't you guys fight back. Like, why did you let this happen? You know, if you know you're going to be killed anyway, why don't you fight? And the answer was because they thought if they just gave in on one more thing, then it would be fine. Then it would be better. I mean, you know the history. It was sort of a staged, you know, stage by stage, step by step process. You know, first do this, then here, and okay, they just sort of went along with it until it was too late. See, that's the extreme of where will worship goes. That's where it goes, where lies just are accepted and they just keep, you know, going. It ends in something like that. And Mr. Fleury wrote, "We have not learned from this history as we should. Could something similar happen today? Could it happen in America? Could someone stir up a political revolution simply by repeating a blatant lie over and over and over till people come to believe it?" Great question. And the answer is, of course, yeah. Yes. Affirmative. It's happening all the time. And it's happening at a faster pace. It's picked up speed. I mean, clearly, there are lies that are being pushed at us all the time. And Mr. Fleury writes, "Well, this has already happened to a shocking degree." Yes, it has. Yes, it has. I mean, just stop and think for a minute. Are we seeing blatant lies being told from the politicians and the media today? Well, just consider some of the recent events. As I mentioned, think about the COVID reporting and the reactions, the panic, the fear, the dread. Now, look, COVID's an illness and came out of China, it looks like, out of that Wuhan lab. And it does cause some real damage for certain people. But for many people, it does not. It passes pretty quickly. I know many people that have had it, probably had it myself. And for the most part, people were okay. It's a terrible thing that man works up and cooks up things like that. But it's being used as a political tool. It was used to help steal an election. Everybody knows that. There's a headline recently where Nancy Pelosi was out visiting somewhere and the people just yelling at her. Like, we all know Trump won. They're yelling that at her. And again, if these COVID situations were as dire as they say, well, everyone would be dropping dead, wouldn't they? And where, in fact, the real deaths have occurred, where the government is meddled, and, you know, put the older people, the more vulnerable people all together in the nursing homes, and it spread and caused a lot of problems. But look at the overreaction. Look at the overreaction. And the lies that it spreads. A smaller example of that, the lying with this COVID is, I had to stay at a hotel recently, and the hotel made a big thing, as many of them do, this particular one, of cleanliness. We're clean, you know, you come here and we're extra clean for COVID and all that. It was the dirtiest room I've ever been in. They said they were clean. They claimed it. They were clean and they had all their, you know, social distancing and everything. Nobody went in there and cleaned the room. It was disgusting. Yet they told me, well, no, we're really clean. Why wasn't the room cleaned? Well, probably because they're understaffed, because people don't work anymore like they used to, because they locked the, you know, economy down for a time and people aren't working and everyone needs more help. And so they're lying even to the customer. Oh, come into our establishment. It's super clean. We're taking care of everything. It was filthy. But they would tell you it was clean. Well, that's the whole spirit of what's going on. We're being told one thing while it's the exact opposite of what's actually true. It's will worship. It's will worship. We have the example of General Milley committing treason. I don't need to get into the details. I mean, it's been covered. All these stories have been covered in depth on this program. And so, again, there's plenty to go back and look at there. I'm just hitting the top of some of these topics to look at this will worship subject. But General Milley committing treason. And the media saying, oh, actually, it's no big deal. And actually, he's kind of a hero. And oh, by the way, President Trump was losing his mind. Well, the obvious question within that would even be, well, how do you know he was losing his mind? Well, we just know. He just was. Where's the proof? Where's the proof? I saw a man talking about President Trump that could speak for hours off the cuff, very effectively. Now, again, he had to be a bit of a bully at times because of what he was dealing with and the way he was being treated. But he made some excellent decisions for the country. The country was doing quite well. Our allies were quite happy in many cases because of him trying to put into practice some good policies for this country. And yet they said, no, he was crazy. He was crazy? Where's the proof in that? That's just a lie. That's just a lie. You know full well that if General Milley was allied with President Trump and he did the same thing and the radical left thought they could take President Trump down with that, oh, they would have been all over that. They would have been crying on TV, crying and weeping. But no, since it works out in their favor, they don't care. No big deal. No big deal. Just lies. Just will worship. That's all it is. Will worship. The ridiculous notion, as another example, the ridiculous notion that Joe Biden received more votes for president than anyone in history. Really? Does that pass just the eye test to you? A man that is having a hard time just even speaking? A man that has no policy or plan and is actually being controlled? it's clearly not true. Clearly not true. He didn't even campaign. He didn't do anything. I drove last year, right before the election, I drove across the middle of the United States. Now, granted, it was more of a conservative area, but still. I went through some bigger cities, and I saw Trump signs everywhere, pro-Trump signs, wanting Trump to be reelected everywhere. I couldn't count them. I mean, just everywhere. But I remember how many Biden signs I saw. Two. And that was in about a 2,500-mile trip. Two Joe Biden signs. And yet somehow I'm supposed to believe that even though President Trump got more votes, actually, than even the first time he was elected, somehow Joe Biden, who he wasn't even going to win his own primary until the call was put in to make it happen. All of a sudden, the American people are just galvanized behind him. And we're just supposed to believe that. And then you saw everything that happened election night and all the cover up and everything. And we're just supposed to believe that. Well, why would we believe that? Well, because they said so. Because they said so. Will you worship my will? I will it. That's what they say. It's unbelievable. Consider the fact that the media is ignoring the massive crisis at the border. The massive crisis at the border, and this gets back to even the COVID thing. People are streaming across the border illegally. They don't get tested for anything. They have illnesses, and they're just running them all up into the country. But yet, if you're an actual citizen, well, you better do this, you better do that, you better do the other. Will worship. Will worship. And back to the COVID thing. I mean, there's so much you could talk about with COVID, but everyone's supposed to wear masks and do all these things. But if the quote-unquote elites get together, they don't have to. You remember the reasoning for that? You remember how the media tried to cover that at Obama's party? They said, well, these were sophisticated people. Oh, sophisticated. That's right. So I'm supposed to believe that sophisticated people don't spread illness, but unsophisticated people do. I mean, that's what they're telling us. And we're supposed to believe that? Where's the evidence for that? I mean, it's insane. You couldn't even pass some of these lies off to children. But yet, it's being just continually pushed at us. The complete lie of climate change, that goes on. That's been going on for quite some time. Climate change, every time something happens, there's a storm. Well, it's climate change, it's this, it's that. Lie after lie after lie. It's will worship. It's just simply will worship. Mr. Fleury wrote, Hitler believed that he did not need to rely on reason, intelligence, reality, absolute truth, or God. He didn't need any of those. Instead, he worshipped his own human will and believed he could create his own reality. That's what's happening today with this will worship. They're just creating their own reality, and we get to come along for the ride. Unfortunately, in their reality, most people don't do very well except for them. Mr. Fleury says, consciously or subconsciously, many people today believe the same thing. They just keep lying until they convince themselves that those around them and those around them that they are right. Just keep lying. Just keep lying. And then if that lie starts to wear a little thin, we'll spice it up. Bring something else along to kind of add to it. And just keep lying. Of course, this is something that is talked about in the Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote about this very subject in Colossians 2, verse 18, verse 23 as well, where he wrote, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels," or it should be demons, "intruding into those things which he has," it should read seen, "vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship." See, Satan and his demons, Mr. Fleury writes, reject God's authority. They reject God's authority. They do not believe in absolute truth. Everything is relative to their will. Think about that. Everything is relative to their will. Do you see that in the radical left today, and much of the right as well, that goes along with it? Do you see that? Yep. There's no absolute truth. It's just relative to their will. How come masks aren't effective, and then all of a sudden the same person says, oh, you have to wear them. You have to wear them. Well, because they changed their mind. It's all relative to their will. It has nothing to do with truth. Mr. Fleury writes, Christ said, the devil, and this is John 8 in verse 44, quote, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan doesn't tell the truth. Demons don't tell the truth. They lie. Is there a spiritual element to what's going on in this world? Absolutely there is. Absolutely there is. Get this. This is really quite an amazing quote here from Mr. Fleury. He says, when human beings reject God's truth, they start worshiping their own opinions. When human beings reject God's truth, they start worshiping their own opinions. They start thinking like Satan. When this type of thinking becomes entrenched enough, people stop even caring about the difference between true and false. Do people care about true and false today anymore? I don't think very many people do. I don't think they really do. They just go along and say, well, as long as I've got my bread and circus, as historically has been said, then I'm fine. What does it matter? Truth, lies. Well, it begins to matter when it affects your life. That's starting to come home to many people now, where the government lies and overreach are starting to impact them in their day-to-day life. That's a big deal. But again, it gets back to will worship. Mr. Fleury says, those that are into will worship, they start trying to magically create reality where no reality is. You know, they make these enemies. Oh, look out for climate change. Here it comes. What are you talking about? What's the data on that? There's nothing that supports it. And again, people can cook up some stuff, but I mean, really, if you look at everything squarely, nothing supports that. Nothing supports that. You know, look out for COVID. It's around the corner. Well, yeah, some people got it. A lot of people did, and most people were fine. it's an enemy. And every time they that starts to be diminished, then they add something to it to say, oh, look out for this, look out for this. And by the way, because of this thing, because of COVID or climate change, yeah, you got to do what we say. You've got to worship our will. Mr. Fleury writes, such reasoning paves the way for tyrants. Tyrants hate facts and truth. That limits their power. How come we can't let the COVID thing go? Because it would limit the power of the people in charge. He writes, so they ignore reality in favor of their own magic interpretation of the world. Oh, you know, again, you talk about racism too, right? Everybody's a racist. Every white person. Just because they said, where's the proof in that? Well, just because we said we know. How do you know? What a terrible thing to say. But it's will worship. They ignore reality in favor of their own magic interpretation of the world. He says every tyrant is a tool that the devil can use to cast truth to the ground. That's in Daniel 8 and verse 12. He says we must recognize the evil spiritual force behind the push to undermine the law. Well, that's happening. There is this push. There is this spiritual component. And we've got to understand it. And we've got to be vigilant. We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back and talk about being vigilant and the importance of that. We'll look at that topic right after this. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily here on 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
Could anything be more mysterious than the question of the unseen spirit world? Angelic beings have always been a mystery to people on the earth. Do angels actually exist? Is there, in fact, a Satan, the devil? Is Satan a literal, immortal being? Did God create a devil? To understand more about the mystery of angels and evil spirits, be sure to request Herbert W. Armstrong's masterful work, Mystery of the Ages. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. I guess it's the Trumpet Daily now. Old habits die hard. We were the radio show for a long time. It's audio and it's video. Today's audio only, but in most cases, of course, there's a video as well, and but it's the Trumpet Daily program, and you can stream it at thetrumpet.com/live, 11 a.m. Central Time, every Monday through Friday, and that's on 101.3 KPCG, and online there at thetrumpet.com. Also, we have our partner, CRN3 Digital Radio. You can listen there also. CRN3 Digital Radio. That's at 11 a.m. Central Time. And so we appreciate you being with us today. I'm Dwight Falk filling in for Stephen Fleury today. In the first half, we were talking about will worship and the problems going on. It really is astounding to see what's happening. Really quite horrific. And we do need to be vigilant. We need to be vigilant. We need to really want truth in our lives. And again, try to really keep our focus on God and His truth and not get caught up in the lying of this world. Being vigilant is essential. We do have a spiritual enemy. Satan the devil is our enemy and his demon cohorts. People might laugh at that, but that's just fine with Satan. He preferred it that way because then nobody is vigilant. They don't pay attention to him. And he can do his work. In World War II, Lieutenant Commander H.R. Cabot was on the destroyer Duncan, and it was October of 1942. And the destroyer had been attacked by the Japanese, and it was sinking. So the wounded men were put onto life rafts, and Lieutenant Cabot was not injured, thankfully, but he had to get off the destroyer. And so he slid into the Pacific Ocean with his life jacket and some empty metal containers. He tied them together with fishing line and to give himself a little extra buoyancy as he waded in the water. And it was nighttime, and the water became quiet. And so all Cabot had to do was wait to be rescued. And so he relaxed. You know, he's pretty comfortable in the water, and he was floating, and he knew he'd be rescued. They weren't under attack anymore. And so just some time to think and float out there in the ocean. And he relaxed. But what Cabot didn't know was that he was being hunted by a killer. He was being hunted. A shark had set its sights on him. And so you remember that Cabot wasn't injured. And those who study sharks find it surprising that a shark would try to attack a man when he's not injured. Because sharks, of course, typically go after blood. But the shark did attack Cabot. Why did it do that? Well, it's because Cabot was so relaxed there in the ocean, the shark thought he was dead. See, we have to understand that we are being hunted. You're being hunted right now. We're being hunted. And we have to be vigilant. There's a passage in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that tells us this. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We're being hunted. Well, it's not by a shark, but it's by the devil, who is a roaring lion, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Who can he devour? Who can he get to follow his will worship? See, we have to be vigilant, we're told in 1 Peter. Vigilance is the action or state of keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. Keeping your eye out, being careful, being aware. So are you keeping careful watch for danger? Do you perceive potential problems and deal with them early? That's what we have to do. We have to really look at our lives and keep our eye out for danger. Now, it doesn't mean we go around being paranoid or something like that or fearful, but we have to keep our eyes open. We've got to be aware. We've got to pay attention to what's happening and be on guard. We can't be too relaxed. If we're too relaxed, we're going to run into danger. You have to watch. We have to watch. Perceive potential problems. Deal with them early in, say, your personal life, in your homes, with your children if you have them. Be on guard. Be watchful. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, notice this. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, there's a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Satan broadcasts. He's a broadcaster. He broadcasts his will worship. He broadcasts moods and impulses. And people get swayed by that, and they're not even aware of it. They're not even aware of it. Unless, of course, God's opened their mind to be aware of it and fight against it and be vigilant. But we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be vigilant because Satan is broadcasting. There's an article written in the June 2007 Philadelphia Trumpet. This is from Stephen Fleury. And the title is Daddy's Girl. He's talking about raising children. And he writes, as Herbert W. Armstrong often said, Satan has surcharged the air with attitudes of rebellion, self-centeredness, and vanity. A spirit now at work, even in the minds of our children. And of course, all of us, if we're not careful. And if, again, we don't fight against that, we'll gravitate in the direction of those attitudes and moods. And so as parents, if we're parents, you know, we have to work to counteract that influence. And we've got to work to fight against that influence in our own lives as well. Because there is, again, this devil out there that is going around like a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. And we've got to be vigilant against him. We have to be vigilant against him. We have to counteract Satan's influence. And to do that, we have to recognize it. We've got to recognize it. We have to be vigilant, as we read about there in 1 Peter. You know, as people that are striving to obey God and keep the truth of God and live our lives according to truth, we've got to combat Satan's influences, his lies, his will worship. You know, we have to really work to keep Satan out of our lives, out of our homes, out of our families. When Lieutenant Cabot engaged in the battle with the shark, he was amazed at how it was such a killing machine. It was so methodical. It was patient. It didn't take the healthy man down in one attack. It would pass by and take a bite. Cabot was weakened bite by bite. It's quite a story to read. The shark would pass and attack. Cabot would fight it off with furious resistance. And then the shark would swim away. And it would turn and face him and wait. It would wait. And once Cabot relaxed again, the shark came in for another attack. Once he relaxed, he came in for another attack. And Satan wants to get those bites in. You know, maybe he can take a person down in one attack. Probably in a lot of cases he can. But what about the small bites that just keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away? Think about will worship that we talked about in the first half. You know, these lies, they start out one, and there's another, and another, and another. It's just these little bites chipping away at the truth until all that's left is lies. What about those small bites? Are we relaxing a bit in prayer, study, fasting, meditation, those tools that a Christian needs? See, if we relax spiritually, Satan attacks. Every compromise with evil is another bite out of our spiritual health. It's another bite out of the truth. Notice this in Luke 22 and verse 31. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, he's talking to Peter here. He said, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Wow. I mean, what a shock. That's Christ telling Peter that. Did you know, Peter, that Satan has desired to have you for the purpose that he can sift you as wheat? Now, we can each put our name in there. We can put our, you know, friend's name in there or our family's names in there. Satan wants to sift everybody like wheat and destroy them. We cannot relax spiritually. We must be vigilant against Satan and his evil broadcast. We've got to fight against that. Now, God has called his people to be king priests, to be people that are not into will worship, but that are obeying God, that are obeying God. And so we have to be very, very careful and very vigilant and not let Satan's attacks, not let will worship, not let lies chip away at us. Here's a few ways to be vigilant. Spend time with God. We've got to be spending time with God. If we're not spending time with God, what's our basis for truth? We've got to be getting into God's word, not our own opinions. God's word, that's where the truth is. See, the media, the left, they might have their opinion. I might have a different opinion, but they're all just opinions. We need the truth of God. And to be vigilant, we have to spend time with God and his word. Another way to be vigilant is to just be careful of the media influence that we let into our lives. Of course, we check the headlines. We have to. Here at the Trumpet, we have a responsibility to watch and pray, like Christ said. But again, we have to be careful what we allow into our thinking. Restrict the media influence, whether it be lying headlines or perverted entertainment. Whatever it might be, anything that chips away at our spiritual armor, we don't want that. We have to be vigilant against that broadcasting. Satan broadcasts, but he has people that broadcast also, you know, over media. And they're influenced by him, and they broadcast his thinking too. We have to establish God as our moral authority. Establish God as our moral authority. Again, opinions are opinions are opinions. Everybody's got one. Or many. But God has to be our moral authority. He must be our moral authority. We have to really work to set the right example. Set the right example in being diligent. If we're doing that, then others will see it. We'll be a light on a hill. And they'll say, I'm gonna strive to be diligent too. Set a right example in being diligent. Stephen Fleury wrote in that article, again, that's the article title is Daddy's Girl, and that's from the 2007 Philadelphia Trumpet. But he wrote, we've got our work cut out for us. It's a real struggle at times to be vigilant. In fact, he says, we must wake up every day prepared for battle. He quotes Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, he says we must stand against the evil we see at every turn in this world. Give ourselves and our families a rock-solid foundation to grab hold of. And he continues verse 13 there. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Note that, he says, having done all to stand. Give it everything you have. It's a battle. It's a battle. We have to give it everything that we have, and we have to rely on God's help, but we've got to go to him. He says you have to be sober and vigilant. And it quotes 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 there that we already read. He says Satan is vigilant in his determination to destroy you. And we have to be vigilant in our determination to not let that happen. He says, shouldn't we be just as determined to keep our families on the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life in the family of God? Well, you remember, of course, Lieutenant Cabat that we were talking about. He was severely wounded, but he survived the shark attacks. What saved him? What saved him? Well, the fact that his approaching rescuers were vigilant. They came up to take him out of the water, and they were really looking to see what was out there, very vigilant, and they saw the danger in the water. They saw the shark, and they took immediate action. They raised their rifles, and they shot that shark and killed him, and they saved Lieutenant Cabat's life. See, vigilance saved him. He relaxed. And got caught in a really life-and-death situation, and he almost lost his life. But those that were coming to save him were extra vigilant. They were paying attention, and they not only rescued him from the water, but they saved him from that killer shark. If we're vigilant, not only are we going to save our life, we'll save others too. We'll be able to use the power of God to conquer Satan. And then other people will be able to be helped by us in that. Of course, God has to do the saving. It's his power. It's his plan. But we have our part in it. And we can help ourselves and help each other by being vigilant. Be vigilant. And do our part. And we're told how to do that here in Mark 14, verse 38. It says, watch you and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So again, you know, if we're just sort of relaxing and not paying attention, we're going to enter into temptation and we're going to have a problem with Satan, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He says, the spirit truly is ready, Christ said, but the flesh is weak. That's right. The flesh gives in to will worship. We need to be drawing close to God and relying on him. Thanks for spending some time with me today here on the Trumpet Daily Show. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on CRN3 Digital Radio, CTN, CRN3 Digital Radio, and online at thetrumpet.com/live. If you'd like any more information on today's program, check us out at thetrumpet.com.